Philip Yancey, in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, tells this story. He tells of a friend whose marriage had gone through tumultuous times. One night, George passed a breaking point. He pounded the table on the floor. "I hate you," he screamed at his wife. "I won't take it anymore. I've had enough. I won't go on. I won't let it happen. No, no, no." Several months later, my friend woke up in the middle of the night and heard strange sounds coming from the room where his two-year-old son slept. He padded down the hall, stood for a moment outside his son's door, and shivers ran through his flesh. He could not draw breath. In a soft voice, the two-year-old was repeating word for word, with precise inflection, the argument between his mother and father. "I hate you. I won't take it anymore. No, no, no." Families are wonderful, but families also can have a lot of problems, can't they? And it's very difficult, isn't it, raising children in the society. I think it's always been difficult. That's why I've quoted from Psalm 127, "Unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain." However skilled we think we are, however much we love our spouses, love our parents, love our children, I hope all of us here realize that we need the Lord's help. This Mother's Day, I want to remind you what God says to families. That's a huge subject, but I want us to stand and read together the fifth commandment. Let's stand together. It comes from Exodus 20, verse 12. One short verse. The Ten Commandments. Here is the fifth commandment. Let's read it together. "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Thank you. Please be seated. The principal place for the spiritual, moral, and emotional training of our children is within the family. It's in the family where we first, I trust we do, experience unconditional love and care and protection and companionship. It's within the family where we begin to understand what it means to be masculine and feminine. It's within the family where we learn how to communicate and how to resolve conflicts and differences. It's within the family where we first learn about respect and authority. It's within the family where we develop our sense of humor. I've thought about that. I know exactly what kind of humor will make my brothers laugh, because we have the same strange sense of humor, learning it within our family. And it's within the family, I trust, where we learn to love and care for others. If you have your Bible, open it with me to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Paul is going to quote the very commandment that we read, the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments, in Ephesians chapter 6. The context is Paul is giving instructions to the family. He's giving instructions to wives and to husbands. And now he turns to children. Now remember, this would have been a letter received by the church at Ephesus. And can you imagine the church being gathered together and perhaps one of the elders standing up and reading this letter received from Paul? And children were there. How wonderful to have children in a church as we have at Calvary Church. Children, yes, need to be in church. And can you imagine how these children of all ages would have listened carefully as now the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul addresses them? Let's hear what God says to children here. In Ephesians 6, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." Fathers? Fathers here, you listening? "Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Ephesians 6, verses 1, 2, and 3. I wanted to say this Mother's Day, honor your mother. Honor your mother. Why should we honor our mother? First of all, it is a command of God. God tells us. We read it from the Old Testament and we read it from the New Testament. We are to honor our parents. In particular, this Mother's Day, I'm saying to all of us, this is what God wants. This is a command of God. Honor your mother. The human heart is naturally rebellious. But if we're not taught respect and obedience in the home, it's very unlikely that we will respect and honor others, such as school teachers or police officers or employers or church leaders. Today, all of us need to listen to the command of God. It is a command. I'm emphasizing that. This is a command of God. This is not optional. This is for you and for me. Honor your father and your mother. Now, I grew up in a large family. I didn't always agree with my parents. Sometimes, as probably all Christian children think, sometimes I thought my parents were too strict, and possibly sometimes they were. And I would try to argue with them. They rarely, to my great frustration, would argue back. My mother didn't argue. Occasionally, my father might have, but he didn't. Instead, he would say something like this to me, something I didn't like to hear. He would say, "John, when are you going to learn to do what you're told?" It was a good question. It was a penetrating question. It was a well-constructed question. It's a question which I needed to hear. "John, when are you going to learn to do what you're told?" I knew my parents loved me. I knew they wanted to guide me in the paths of righteousness. Sometimes I found that difficult. That's why we need a command, isn't it? If it was just optional, I might say, well, it's okay for some people, or I'm going to choose areas where I will obey them and areas where I won't. Because as you grow up, particularly as you're a teenager, there comes a point where you think that you know more than your parents. No, obey your parents, John. This is a command of God. All of God's commandments are wise. This is God saying it. God, your creator. And God is all wise. God is good. We were singing about that. This is a good command, as we'll see. Obey the command. Honor your mother. This is a command of God. Secondly, this is a command with a promise. Look at verse 1 again of Ephesians 6. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise." Here is the promise: "that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." If Israel obeyed this command, the nation would prosper in the promised land. There would be a stable society with strong families experiencing the Lord's blessing. His provision, his protection, his blessing will accompany those who obey this command. Life will go well with you if you obey the command. The clear implication is, if you disregard the command, life will not go well with you. That it may go well with you. Looking at it broadly, when the family is strong, the nation is strong. Do you want life to go well with you? I do. Honor your parents. Honor your mother. Obey your parents. Who can quantify the pain when children are raised in homes where they're not loved? Some of you were raised in such homes. Think of the confusion in homes where parents do not model Christ to their children. Think of homes where moms and dads are not instructing their children in the importance of the Word of God. Think of the tremendous pain when children rebel against parents. What a heartache to parents. And so the importance of the command is emphasized. Yes, it is a command. Even if it didn't go well with me, I should still obey it. But God is so good. God is so wise. God doesn't choose his commandments in a whimsical, arbitrary way. They are wise. They're for our good. Life will go well with you if you listen to God and if you honor your parents. In fact, you will be blessed by God. One of the principles that I've tried to follow in my life on this matter of honor, yes, is to honor my parents. And in 1 Samuel 2, verse 30, there's a wonderful statement by God. And there's a statement with a promise. Those who honor me, I will honor. If you honor your parents, if you honor your mother, God will honor you. Those who honor God, those who obey God, God will honor. Jesus put it this way in the Gospels: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Life will go well with you if you seek first the kingdom of God. If you obey God, if you're humble, if in particular you obey this command, there is a promise. Life will go well. It's a command with a promise. Isn't that wonderful that God gives us a promise in this command? Thirdly, this is a command which is the right thing to do. Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And people say, why should I obey mom and dad? You don't know them. They're unreasonable sometimes. They're difficult sometimes. They're very strict sometimes. Paul says, well, it's the right thing to do. For this is right. Paul is instructing children to obey their parents, for this is right. Children, students, listen. It's the right thing to do. There's a natural law at work here, a law written in our hearts as well as in the Ten Commandments. People throughout the world know it is the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do for children to honor their parents. It's the right thing to do to obey your parents. And children, you know that. Students, you know that. Teens, you know that. I knew that. I knew it was the right thing to do. We had on Sunday night our next generation children singing, and they took some scripture beginning with A and went through to scripture ending with F. And one of the ones they sang was Colossians 3, verse 20. Here it is in the English Standard Version. Paul is writing again, children, obey your parents in everything. It was the everything that I sometimes struggled with. But that's not the point, isn't it? True humility, true obedience comes in obeying where you don't want to obey. That is a real test. It's easy to obey your parents when you agree with them. No, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases who? The Lord. Yeah, it pleases your mom and dad, but more importantly, it pleases the Lord. You want to please God? You're an 8-year-old wee boy and you want to please God. You're an 18-year-old young woman. You want to please God? Obey your parents. Obeying your parents is more important than your self-expression. When you obey your parents, God is pleased. When your parents say you should go to church, you obey them, you go to church. They're the spiritual leaders in the home, at least I hope they are. They choose, not you, where you worship. Do you realize that our Lord Jesus, here on earth, in his incarnation, could say, I always do the things that please the Father. Here is the perfect Son giving us the perfect example. In every single detail, our Lord Jesus Christ pleased the Father. In fact, Luke tells us when our Lord was 12 years old, some of you remember the story of him going to the temple and so on. But Luke 2, verse 51 says this: he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. Here is the Lord of glory, God himself, God incarnate. When he's here on earth, as he's a young boy of 12 years old, do you know what he does to Mary and Joseph? He is submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Proverbs says that a wise son makes a glad father. And you'll recall that wonderful scene at the Lord's baptism when the heavens opened and the Father said of his Son, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Do you want to please God? Obey your parents. I sometimes have young people come to me and I'm privileged that they want to talk to me about their future, what college to go to, who to marry. Should I go on this missions trip or all kinds of exciting things? And they want to do the Lord's will. You know, this is God's will for you. Obey your parents. You say, that doesn't sound very exciting. But that's the test. Why are you wanting God's will for you regarding where you are going to go to school or what kind of career or who you're going to marry, and you're not obeying the command and not doing the Lord's will in this very, very, very important aspect, this training school for the rest of your life? You know it's the right thing to do. Honor your mother. Do the right thing. There's another reason for the command. This is a command with benefits. Yes, it will go well with you. In particular, if you honor your parents, your children are much more likely to honor you when you get older. That's a general rule, isn't it? My parents took care of my maternal grandmother after my grandfather died. She would leave her little village in the height of winter for about 3 or 4 months and come and stay with us during that time. And then for 7 or 8 months, she would go back to her own home. And then as age came in and health situations and she got a bit forgetful and so on, then she came to stay with our family. I had moved out by that time, but she would be there when I would visit. Now let me ask you, does the fact that my mother cared for her mother, does that make it more likely that my brothers and I will care for my mother? Of course it is. We saw that modeled. We saw modeled in our own home, our parents caring for my maternal grandmother. We watched it. We saw their love. Sometimes it wasn't easy in a home. But there it was. Here's another story. Once there was an old man who was in declining health and whose hands trembled. Because he had no place to live, he moved in with his son's family. The son's wife wasn't exactly thrilled with the new arrangement, and she especially hated it at the dinner table. When he ate, he often spilled his food. Finally, in her exasperation, she insisted that he eat his meals in a corner of the kitchen. He began to eat alone and was served food in a bowl. And then one day his hands were shaking so much that he dropped his bowl on the floor, spilling his food. "That just does it," the daughter-in-law screamed. "If you're going to eat like a pig, we'll feed you like a pig." She made a wooden trough and told him that he would have to eat out of the wooden trough. So he did. Then one afternoon, a few days later, the woman's little boy came in the house excited about something he had made. "Look, Mommy," he shouted, "I made a trough to feed you and Daddy out of when you get to be old as Grandpa." She didn't say a word. She just began to cry, and from that day forward, the old man ate his meals at the table with the rest of the family. If that story sounds vaguely familiar, it is, because a version of it's been around since the 1800s, adapted from the Brothers Grimm stories. Yes, there are many reasons for the command. This is a good command, a command of God, a command with a promise, a command with benefits, a command that if you obeyed, it will go well with you. Honor your mother. This Mother's Day, not just for a day, of course, but for all of life to honor your mother. Now you say, how can we do that? Some ways to honor your mother. First of all, and this is repetition, honor your mother by obeying her. Obeying her. We are to give our parents respect and significance. What does it mean to honor? Well, this is an interesting word. To honor our parents is to give weight to their position as parents. They are our parents. Proverbs 1, verse 8, Solomon says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Listen again to Proverbs 7. Solomon is writing to his son. Proverbs 7, verse 1, "My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye." How do you honor your parents, children, students? Obey them. Yes, children are to obey their parents, not the other way around. Not parents obeying their children. Some of you heard as I did, I read about it on just this past Friday. This was in Australia. I thought the Australians knew better, but there's a sexuality expert, who, whatever that means, called Deanne Carson. And she said how important it is, and I saw the little clip, to teach a child, I'm quoting, that their response matters from a young age. This was a lesson my parents did not know about. And you say, what on earth does that mean? She gives an example. Here's a little baby. We dedicated some little babies. And this might surprise some of you. Before you change the diaper of the baby, you have to ask the baby for permission. Because the baby's got rights. So, okay, how does that work? Then I thought, the only way I would do that was, if I was changing the diaper and it was really messy, I would say to the child, "You do want mummy to change you, don't you?" "Yes, I like mummy." I mean, you say it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous, but isn't there a move in our society to talk so much about rights? Everyone's got rights. Little Johnny's got his rights. God looks at it another way. Your duty, your responsibility. Of course we're to respect a child and we're to love a child. Of course, that goes without saying. But the responsibility is given to the parent. The child has to obey the parent, not the other way around. Jordan Peterson, the bestseller of 12 Rules for Life, not a Christian book, but fascinating, I think. He's got a chapter headed. He gives this chapter a very interesting title. It's one of the 12 rules. He says, "Do not let your children do anything that makes you dislike them." Hear that again? I think there's a lot of wisdom here. Do not let your children do anything that makes you dislike them. And he sees, he's Canadian, he sees today's parents as terrified by their children. Quote, "simply paralyzed by the fear that they will no longer be liked or even loved by their children if they chastise them for any reason." Can you imagine that? Can't imagine my dad saying, "John needs discipline, but oh, he might not love me. He might not like me. And so I won't do it." He's a professor of psychology at the University of Toronto. He believes that children, surprise, surprise, need structure, rules, and discipline. He writes, "Children are perfectly capable of attempting to subsist on hot dogs, chicken fingers, and Fruit Loops. If doing so will attract attention, provide power, or shield them from trying anything new. Instead of going to bed wisely and peacefully, children will fight nighttime unconsciousness until they are staggered by fatigue. They are also perfectly willing to provoke adults while exploring the complex contours of the social experiment. But we don't need a professor of psychology to tell us that, do we? The Bible tells us that. Throughout Scripture, the pattern is for parents to teach their children the Word of God. What does Paul say here? To fathers in verse 4 of Ephesians 6, don't provoke your children to anger. Of course you're to respect them. Don't be abusive. Don't manipulate. Don't control them. But here's a positive. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And then children are to honor their parents by obeying them. When your children, when your parents speak to them, speak to you, listen to them. Respect them. Honor them. Obey them. God has placed them in a position of authority over you. And can I say, always, always speak respectfully to your parents and about your parents. There's something that doesn't seem right, does it? When you hear someone and their parents are not there, speaking in a despising, mean-spirited way about their mom and dad. Does that bother you? It bothers me. One of the things, when I began to get to know Goodney, one of the things I quickly found out about her was that she respected her parents, and she spoke well of her parents. Were they perfect? No, her mother didn't speak English, which did help sometimes. But I still fell out with her on one occasion. She loved her parents. She spoke well of them. Here she was, this young woman from a different culture, and when I introduced her to my parents and to my family, which were very, very different from her cultural setting, she showed respect and grew to love them. I thought, now that is a good thing for a young woman, isn't it? You say, well, you were fortunate. Good news, you were fortunate. My parents were terrible. They were unbelievers. I understand there's abusive parents. And I understand that not everyone comes from the kind of home that I came from. And some of you have come from terrible homes where you have been abused, and where your parents didn't love you, but still, as you live in their home, you are, unless your parents are asking you to do something against Scripture, you are to obey them in the Lord. So if they're asking you to do something wrong, don't do that, because it's the right thing to do. Isn't it true that many people wreck their lives because they rebel against their parents? They defy their parents. Think of it this way, young people. God chose your parents. I didn't choose my mom and dad. I had no control over it. You didn't choose who your parents are. I understand they're not perfect. But if you think they're bad, look around. Can you imagine? I often thought that, okay, I maybe think my parents are a bit strict, and then you look around and think, oh, I'm very thankful that's not my dad or that's not my mother. I mean, God chooses your mother and father for you. Of course they're not perfect. Of course you're going to disagree with them sometimes. Of course they make mistakes. Of course they're frustrated with you sometimes. Of course they lose their temper with you sometimes. But here is still the injunction. Children, obey your parents. Now let me say this. We are no longer to obey our parents once we are married and leave home. Now I understand in some cultures that's true, even when someone's married and they still are under the authority of their own parents, and these parents try to tell you what kind of life you live. I'm glad I didn't come from that culture. I think it's an unbiblical pattern. What does the Bible say? in marriage. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. A new unit is being formed. The day I got married, in the eyes of God, I was the leader of my home, and it was not for my father, it was not for my mother to order me to do certain things. I had now set up under God a new unit, a family unit. That is the biblical way. And can I say to parents who have got children who are married and who have their own homes, don't try to control them. I understand you're wiser. And you may have the privilege of them asking you for advice. That's a wonderful thing. But it's their home. Decisions have to be made. It is true I'm always to honor my mother. I still honor my mother. But I don't obey her. If she were to tell me to do something that I didn't agree with, I would say, no, Mom. And certainly, I have to understand that as a married man, the top human relationship in my life is no longer my parents, it's my wife. If you're married, men, wives, your top relationship is to your spouse. So if anyone interferes in your marriage, even a parent that you love dearly, you've got to say, I understand what you're saying. I understand you think this is good advice, but this is what we have chosen. We have prayed about this, and this is what we are doing. So we honor our mother by obeying her. Secondly, we honor our mother by loving her. It's in the home where we first experience love. I hope you came from a home where you're loved. Most of us have had parents who loved us. What a sense of belonging that is. Moms and dads, make sure your children are loved. It's amazing how in the busyness of life, we can minimize that. Children get a great sense of personal security and stability and well-being from the home. And you have the great privilege, as we dedicated these beautiful children today, that they are being raised in homes where they are loved and where they're cared for, where they are loved, irrespective of their foibles, irrespective of their faults. And even when I disagreed with my parents, I never doubted for one split second that they didn't love me. And so one of the ways we honor our mother is by loving her. Today, give your mother a big love, a big hug. Make sure your mother knows that you love her. You say, well, she knows that. When did you last tell her? Tell your mom that you love her. She may be old. My mother will be 93 next month. I'm to tell my mother. I'll see her next month, Lord willing. That'll be the first thing I say to her. Mom, I love you. If your mother's out of town today, call her and tell her how much you appreciate her. Tell her how much you love her. Don't take that for granted. And you say, well, I don't have a good relationship with my mother. I understand. Maybe she's a very poor mother. Maybe she's a very cantankerous person. Maybe you're a very cantankerous child. Right? If you have wronged her, tell her, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. If she's wronged you, be quick to forgive. Demonstrate your love for your mother. Isn't it wonderful to know that when our Lord was on the cross and dying, he looked down at his mother? And he commended his mother to John. Love your mother. Thirdly, lastly, honor your mother by caring for her in her old age. This is true for those of us who are older. Yes, we're always to honor our mother, and that doesn't stop when we get married and when we leave our own home. We're always to honor our mother, irrespective of their age. Proverbs 23. Have you noticed this verse? Proverbs 23, verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life. That's good, isn't it? Listen to your father. He gave you life. And here it is. Do not despise your mother when she is old. You ever been embarrassed by your mother? She's getting a bit old, a bit decrepit, a bit of dementia, not quite as healthy, not quite as active as she once was. Don't despise your mother, the scripture is saying, when she is old. We may be parents ourselves, but we're always to honor our parents. As I say, when Jesus was on the cross, he requested the disciple John to take care of his mother. Woman, behold your son. And John took Mary into his own home and loved her. Would you expect anything else from the perfect son? Isn't it tragic when so many people set aside their parents when they get old? They're forgotten. They're even despised. If you know anything about retirement homes, you will know that there is a group of people, elderly men and women in these homes, who are rarely visited by anyone. That's tragic. That's tragic. That is not what God wants. Honor your parents. And honor your mother by taking care of her in her declining years. If you see your mother beginning to be less able to do things, make it clear to her that you and your siblings, if you have any, are going to take care of her in her declining years. I'm not saying you can all take her into your home. That may not be practical. But you're going to do all you can to honor your mother and care for your mother as she gets older. Think of the anxiety an elderly person may have when they wonder, what's going to happen to me? Perhaps they have very little savings, and they're very concerned about health problems and practical problems, and they sense their mind is beginning to go. How wonderful to have loving children who say, don't worry, Mom. We're going to make sure you're taken care of, whether it's taking them into your own home, whether it's making arrangement for some other home, an assisted living or a retirement home or a nursing home, whatever it may be. But Scripture reminds us that we are to honor our parents by supporting them financially. Remember the Pharisees in Mark chapter 7. Instead of financially supporting their parents, they said, well, we're giving it to the Lord as a gift. And Jesus said, no, no, don't do that. Paul says in 1 Timothy 5 that families have a responsibility to their widowed mothers to support them financially. You say, well, the church should do that. Yeah, the church may help, but the responsibility is yours. The responsibility for my mother is not the church she attended in Scotland, but are myself and my brothers. It's our responsibility. She is our mother. This is the way that we honor him. This command to honor our parents still stands today. What do you think about it? How does it apply to you? This affects all of us, doesn't it? Will you hear it and will you obey it? You know, as I thought of this, I thought, you know, we all come short. There's no perfect families. There's no perfect parents. There's no perfect sons or daughters. Human love is never perfect. All of us, I'm sure, as we reflect on our relationship with our parents, with our siblings, with our children, with grandchildren, all of us here, I would think, have some regrets. We realize we don't do it as we should. That's because we're fallen people. Our love falls short. But I want to remind you of the gospel. You say, what do you mean, John? You know what the gospel is? The gospel tells us that we do have a perfect, loving Heavenly Father. You may have had the worst father in Charlotte, who was mean, who neglected you, who was abusive. But I want to tell you that God the Father is a perfect Father, and that He loves us unconditionally with a perfect love. And in His grace, He sends one into the world who is the only perfect Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is only Jesus who perfectly fulfilled the fifth commandment. He's the only human being who walked this earth who fulfilled the fifth commandment perfectly, who always honored His Father, who always did the things that pleased Him. And God sends Him into this world because all of us, without exception here, have broken the commandments, not just the fifth commandment, but the other commandments as well. And what is God's remedy for that? To judge us and to say, you should have known better? Yes, in a sense, we should have known better. But we have fallen short. We have sinned. We've come short of the glory of God. And God, in His grace, sends our Lord Jesus Christ to rescue us and to take our sins, including the sins of the breach of the fifth commandment. As we have disobeyed our parents, as we have rebelled against them, as we have not always raised our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and we have not provided the homes that we should have. And instead of wallowing in our guilt, I want you to receive the grace of God and to know that whatever home you came from, there is a perfect family, the family of God, where God loves you, where Christ came to redeem you, who took your sins on His body, on the tree, so that in Jesus Christ there can be a new beginning, and that you can have a new family. Because Jesus said, as John said of our Lord, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in His name, that we are welcomed into this family, into this eternal family. And much as I appreciate my physical family, the Monroe family, I appreciate 1,000 times more, 1,000,000 times more, the family of God. Because the Monroe family is not a perfect family. It's a broken family. It's like your family. It's like every family. But God, in His grace, provides in Jesus Christ love and mercy and forgiveness, where you can enter this family, to have God as a Father who loves you perfectly, a Christ who loves you perfectly, a Holy Spirit who comes and empowers you to live for Jesus Christ. And may then we who are followers of Jesus, filled with the Spirit of God, loving God, receiving His love, may that love be reflected to others, including, certainly including, our own family, because the commandment still stands: honor your father and your mother. Help us to do that. Today we pray. We come short, we fail, but thank You for this clear word from You. And thank You that You see our brokenness and You see our sin, and You send Christ into this world to transform us, to forgive us, and to help us. I pray for the mums and dads here today. I pray for children. I pray for students. I pray for each of our homes. I pray for those who are single, who live on their own, and ask that each one of us will understand the wonder of the family of God, that I'm a child of God, and that for all of eternity. Strengthen us, Father. Open our hearts to receive Christ, we pray. In His name, amen.